everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, John Engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. And we are off and running with the first full week of March, March the 8th, 2021. We are in our 11th year on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was by on Saturday visiting with Mo and his lovely daughter Corinne. What a team they make. I'll tell you, they just are very creative people. You go in there and say, I'd really like this particular item framed, and they will come up with a wonderful solution for you that I know you will be very proud to have hanging in your home. Family owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. And their website, they've revamped the website. It's looking really good, moesgallery.com. Every Monday, we bring together a team of commentators. This week's team, Bruce Ash is seated to my right. Mr. Ash served 14 years.
He finally got it right.
There you go. I was waiting for you to say something. I finally did change the template on the face-off. As Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, he's the host of Inside Track on KVOI Saturday afternoon at 1. Dr. Don Jorgensen is seated to my left. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how was your weekend? You did get your second COVID shot, so you that's like a huge relief off your back.
It sure is. It feels like something big off your shoulders. Yeah. I got that several days ago, so got through some mild reaction on Wednesday and then was fine and had a great weekend. Doing what I think a lot of Tucsonans did, and that was sitting in front of my computer several times Saturday and Sunday for the Tucson Festival of Books. And
yeah, the Festival
listened
of Books.
To some great authors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as someone suggested, in between sessions, I went out and walked around my house several times, so I felt like I was on the mall and then back in. But great.
I wonder how they did with their virtual number.
They sold out their numbers.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had said that everything had been, basically taken up. You couldn't have, it's not as many people as would have been there, but said it was very, very well received.
And well done, well run. That was one of the questions with the volume that came in. And we experienced no problems with it, both live and replays. And I hope that they make, even when we go back to doing it live, which we all want, that they also record them for replay because it was so popular.
Yeah, that'll be a part of the festival then, having everything recorded and being able to go in and check that out. Bruce, you had a good weekend and you did stop by Moe's. I was there before you showed up in the afternoon because they were saying, we need Bruce to come in here and tell us what he wants to do with all this political memorabilia.
So they're doing a great job for me, but I listened to what other customers said, and there was a fellow who came in. I think he's a landscape contractor or something, and he had one of these sort of wide sort of angle pictures of the desert, and Mo had framed it, and he was just tickled pink.
Was he?
With what they had done for him.
Another satisfied
And somebody
customer.
Else came in specifically looking for Corinne, and they do good stuff.
Yeah, they're doing great stuff. I didn't think I would watch. I had other video that I was going to watch last night and wasn't going to watch the two-hour with Oprah and the conversation with the royals. But I wound up, I thought I'd watch for a few minutes, and I wound up watching for both hours. What'd you watch, Bruce?
We watched it. My wife was very curious. We had watched the 60 Minutes before. Very interested in the moon, in the lunar mission coming up in 3 years, I think.
The Artemis mission.
Yeah. And very interesting article. And also another drug that kind of came through the back door as far as COVID treatments.
Right. And that so was interesting. I saw
we got
that
finished
well.
With dinner after 60 minutes, and Jane says we're watching. I said, okay. Yeah. I'm very interested in the Royals, and I'm an Anglophile. I wasn't that interested in seeing those two guys, but it was revealing, very interesting, and. Troubling in some respects.
Yeah, about she was reaching out for help at the palace because she really was very, very depressed and actually thought about taking her own life. And she went to HR. I didn't know they had a human resources department at the palace, but she went to HR and they basically gave her the cold shoulder. But that kind of is very interesting and right up your line professionally, Don, so you understand these things.
Right, and I have to smile while Bruce was talking because I'm not that much of an Anglophile, but I am a NASAphile, so I had the same evening watching 60 Minutes, and
so
then my wife wanted to see the Royals.
All three of us.
I didn't care that much about Oprah or them, but yeah. We watched it.
Right.
And it was fascinating, you know, knowing how organizations work with HR that, mm-hmm. They have a lot of staff and, you know, they referred to it as the firm, which was very interesting.
Or the institution.
Yeah.
Might be like living in an institution sometimes.
Well, that's how she described it exactly. And to have that feeling of or experience of having no one to reach out to, no one to receive help from. In fact, I guess denied the opportunity to get help, go to hospital.
She said she was ready to take her own life. You would think that someone at the palace would say, yeah, we don't want the publicity about this, but we will bring over our particular psychiatrist or doctor, come in the back door or whatever, somebody to talk to.
Exactly. and what, you know, we're getting her experience from it, but she came across very credible in describing something that we've heard consistently, that it's very insular and no help was available, and it may have only been her husband
who saved her life.
That, right, identified the nature of it because of his own mother's experience, and you're right, may have saved her life.
Mm-hmm. Then there was the race card.
Yeah, the irony of Markle's problem with depression and so on, and her feelings of wanting to take her life or hurt herself. The irony of that is not lost on anybody who watched, because when you think about Princess Diana's life, you know, I think that she was harmed mm-hmm. the way that the press treated her and, mm-hmm. and some people within the royal family as well. And you would have thought that the royal family would have learned a lesson and wanted to make a clean break from that, especially with one of Diana's children,
sure.
Charles and Diana's
yes.
children. And it appears, according to the report from Meghan, that she didn't, or that they didn't. The other thing.
Are you talking about getting back? I mentioned the race card.
Yeah, well,
because
race is
a really big part of that interview last night. It made the palace look really bad.
Yeah. So you know, the thing with race is, the royal family has missed an unbelievable opportunity to reach out within the Dominion.
Of course.
With what might be hundreds
what
of millions
is it? 60% of the Commonwealth are people of color, at least that.
Yeah. And that's a huge, huge
yes.
opportunity lost. And I was surprised by that. I don't think, though, that this the issue with the baby's color
yes.
is the reason that there was sort of a cutoff from the royal family. And I have no inside knowledge, but there has been long thought that Diana had an affair with her bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Harry looks just like that man.
Really?
If you look at a photograph of him mm-hmm. and Harry, he doesn't look like Charles. And this young lad looks just like this other fellow. And I just wonder if that was part of this thing, you mm-hmm. know, the denial
yeah.
for the for Prince Harry, who is like fourth in line now,
yeah.
And also for Archie as well. I mean, he is a beautiful kid.
Yeah.
And frankly, look, I think Harry, you know, Harry fought honorably in the army. He worked his tail off for royal causes. This is a guy who, you know, I may not agree with all of the causes that he believes in, but he's a very effective spokesman for the crown.
Yeah.
And what a shame to lose him. And him and his brother, after their childhood experiences, they should be together.
Yes, they should.
They should have that opportunity to you know, share their causes, the royal family's causes, throughout the entire world.
I agree. The question, too, rises at moving forward for both the royal family and for them, because as Meghan Markle pointed out last night, the huge separation between the perception of what was happening and the reality of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about shows like The Crown that everyone has watched or is watching, mm-hmm. continuing to watch, understanding on one sense that it was fictionalized, but still a lot of history in there.
Yeah.
And how attitudes about that may change now that all of this has mm-hmm. come out, mm-hmm. as well as moving forward with what Meghan and Harry choose to do, the view of his father, Prince Charles, mm-hmm. The view of William and Kate and the unequal treatment. So I think this does have ramifications, perhaps in British society. Now, I don't know it.
British society is right now favoring the royals' side of the story.
Yeah.
But there's also
almost that, what 50% of the British
The polls have
citizenry
been
that
even
aren't that
on
thrilled
that.
About
on the monarchy.
Supporting the monarchy altogether.
The other opportunity they missed was the ability to perpetuate the customs and the traditions of the royal family, because that, you know, has been in danger before of being eliminated, and now perhaps there's a new opening in that particular area.
Anyway, we could spend the whole half hour talking about that, but I do want to talk about the COVID relief bill when we come back. But right now, want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, our favorite bakery in town. Yes, I did have one of the cinnamon rolls, and Anne brought it home, and I said, Anne, this bag is kind of heavy. What's in here? She said, well, it's one of the cinnamon rolls. How could it get any bigger? The roll just keeps, like, growing.
Butter and sugar.
I don't know, man, but it just keeps getting bigger. But anyway, I made it last 2 or 3 days for sure. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle, open right now for lunch. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. You can call ahead for your bakery goods or order them online, and they do a great job with everything that comes out of the oven up there at Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, our title sponsor for our Monday political face-off, Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash, right after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. 51 years they've been around over at 3384 East River Road, and we are glad they are still around. And not only are they still around, but they are just like growing. Green Things, 13 acres, amazing plants, and Bruce Ash is with me and Don Jorgensen, and it's gardening time. And if you want something really colorful for
the
garden,
that's my go-to place.
It is?
I enjoy going there, just walking around, even if I don't buy anything. Most of the time I do buy something, but just it's a great place to be. And I'll tell you, it's interesting, 51 years.
Yeah.
This would be the 51st anniversary of my high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
In 1970, when they started, they were this sort of kitschy sort of, all they did was sell ferns. It was all indoor.
Wow.
Kind of indoor, ferns. You know, ferns and pothos.
Oh, my
goodness. And that was sort of like, you know, like the cool place
with,
to get
with
your
macrame holders, I assume.
Absolutely with macrame holders, right?
Oh, my.
And but, I mean, when you go there today, I mean, anybody who sort of remembered, you know, Green Things from the old days to today, it was Gordon's Green Things in those days.
Was it?
Okay. But it's just a whole different operation. Great,
yeah,
great people that
one
owner.
More quick thing about Green Things, you get great help. If you go in there, Don, and say, I need something that's going to survive another hot summer, chances are very good what they give you and point out to you will survive and do well. And they're very knowledgeable.
And great question, or great answers to your questions as well about gardening problems.
That's it. That's true. All right. Our title sponsor for the face-off is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com. We love Moe's over there very often, and they always do such a great job. Don Jorgensen here and Bruce Ash. Some believe that when President Biden, Don Jorgensen, signs the COVID relief bill this week, and he probably will do it this week, that this will be looking like the most ambitious and progressive economic reform package that Congress has passed in our lifetimes.
And I think it is almost impossible to overstate the positive impact it'll have on so many Americans and those that need the help the most. I mean, these benefits will begin very quickly, helping the low-income, moderate-income folks immediately that have been hit the hardest by the pandemic and been overlooked sometimes in some of the previous assistance bills. And the numbers are just incredible. You know, at the end of last year, over 80 million Americans had trouble paying their bills, buying food. I think 30 couldn't make rent payments. And
30 million couldn't
make. Yeah, couldn't make rent payments. You had also women and people of color impacted the hardest because they were most often in the face-to-face jobs that were lost. Restaurants yes. Closing down schools, childcare, all of that. And yes, the economy is starting to come back now. This is the Republican argument. But they don't get that money back. And they've been just hammered by it. And that's what this American Rescue Bill is going to do. It's going to help them get back on their feet, help them deal with all of those issues, extend unemployment through Labor Day for those folks that aren't going to be able to get a job right away and all those folks that want to. It does so much good across the board to the areas where folks need it. There's millions, of course, going to immediate vaccine distribution and support to get people vaccinated and safe. One of the ironies is that it's the Republicans that have been screaming to get schools open again, and we all want schools open again, and yet they all voted against a bill that provides, again, billions to aid schools in getting open and providing the air filters and all of that. There are so many parts of this that benefit everyone.
Well, Bruce is going to tell us, I think, that there's too much in it, right, Bruce?
They started with a good idea.
Good idea that just exploded.
And took it to become a big fat porkapalooza. and it is a bailout for states that have overspent, blown budgets, have done every political gimmick to win elections. And it is donor states like Arizona who are funding horrendous deficits and debt by places like New York with Governor Cuomo, like California with Governor Newsom, like Illinois with Jay Pritzker. These guys don't even think about a budget anymore. They're getting this huge bailout, and frankly, they're bailing out a bunch of their big corporate buddies as well. The Democratic Party is not for the everyday working Joe, but because if they were, they would have opened up restaurants, they would have helped more small businesses, and they would have helped more with respect to families. I like the idea with the child tax credits. I like the idea with continued unemployment payments, but until this government gets off this, you got to wear your mask until 2032, and all the different lockdowns. You know, we're lucky. You know, some of the restrictions are coming off here in Arizona. They're not coming off here fast enough either, and it's guys like Joe Biden who repeatedly make the point that, you know, the economy's not coming back anytime soon. The people that Don, and I think Don does care about these folks. These folks are being told by the Biden administration, not by Bruce Ash, but by the Biden administration, it won't be until 2024 until many of them get their jobs back.
Here's what Bruce should be happy about then, since you brought up small businesses and restaurants and such. Over 200 million, if not billion, dollars from this bill is going directly to help small businesses, not corporations, small businesses, restaurants. Folks have been hurt directly. And again, families with a new child tax credit.
Which is a great idea. They started there. It was great.
The whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so not only should Bruce be happy about that, but the majority of the American people supported this bill. Up to 77% wanted this bill. Including in some polls, more than half of Republicans supported this bill.
So that was until they found out what was in it.
This is a progressive bill that is focusing on where the need is and making this huge difference that's going to keep people on their feet, allow them to become part of the recovery, get people healthier quicker with the insurance components that are in there as well as the vaccine components. And it really is a statement about the positive role of government. You know, the Republicans have spent years talking about arguing that government was dysfunctional and corrupt and all that. But apparently that only happened under the GOP, where nothing got done for the past 12 years when they had the majority in the Senate. But now we're seeing kind of a return to the principle of using government power to help the poor and the working class voters, not just the big corporations and billionaires that we saw with a similarly priced Trump tax cut a few years ago that had no effect on the economy.
Okay.
This is going to make a difference.
Final comment, Bruce.
Joe Biden pushed this through under reconciliation. Joe Biden, the unifier, pushed this bill without exception, almost, as to the minimum wage change, which would have been a tragic mistake, and some of the bloated unemployment payments. Joe Biden and the Democrats made absolutely no inroads. They took no advice from Republicans in the Senate, and I think we're going to, as we see this thing rolling out, we're going to see lots of problems with it,
and a lot of Americans who are able to take care of their families and buy food and access health care and get back in the job market while taking care of their kids.
All right. When we talk next time, maybe it'll be about H.R. 1, the politician's bill.
Let's do it, the voter reform bill.
Okay, we'll do that in 2 weeks. But right now I want to tell everybody that the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. I really like the revamped website. They're doing e-commerce. Not only can you stop in the store, get everything you need for your framing, but also buy some really neat stuff online. All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Our scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. My goodness, 2020 was not only the year for COVID, it was the year that scammers came out of the woodwork.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, March the 8th, and it's time for our monthly interview segment. I love doing this segment because we always learn so much good information and get some great tips about how not to be a victim of a scam. Our scam alert is presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. It's always a pleasure to welcome the CEO of the BBB, Pam Krim. Pam, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Pam, 2020 was the year of COVID, we know, but it was also the year that scams just exploded. They went off the chart, and they went in many different directions this time and still are evolving.
You're absolutely
not in a good way.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be great if I didn't have any content to bring you?
Oh, my goodness. You've got a lot this month, I'll tell you.
Yes, we just finished our white paper on scams for the year, and in this past year, we had a 25% increase in participation on our scam tracker. So we had 25% more people reporting scams. And that's because, number one, it's better well-known, but also we have so many people that are doing online purchasing,
yeah.
And that's one of the largest areas for scams.
Yeah, and to give folks a little bit of context to that, that's more than 46,000 scams were published on the BBB scam tracker in 2020. That's amazing.
Right, and you know that what's published is very much under what's actually happening.
It's the tip of the iceberg.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because you could almost multiply it by 10.
Probably,
yeah.
Probably.
So that's a lot of people. So that's a big jump over 2019. And for the first time, you had some different age groups that were really checking in.
We saw some shifting of that. You know, over the last 2 or 3 years, we have seen that the younger portion of the population, 18 to 25 to 30, are having more involvement with scams than even the elderly. But this year, we actually saw that they were losing the same amount of money as those that are over 50 or 55, which usually lose more because they usually are involved in more expensive things. Mm-hmm. But the 18 to 24 caught up.
So it almost like it's spread over all age groups.
Exactly.
How about online purchase scams? Was that at the top of the list of the most common scams?
Yes, it was. It grew immensely. 57% said they're purchasing online when they didn't do that before.
Wow. And 98% of the people report a scam to BBB to warn others. That is their motivation?
Yes, you know, we know, and that's so important too, because a couple things. One, we know that the real solution to scam is education.
Mm-hmm.
So we really try to get people to our website for educational purposes. And with that, we've been able to estimate that having that high amount of folks coming to our website, that literally we can monetize that to about $21 million that we helped avoid being scammed.
Right.
Which is really what our mission is.
Yeah.
You know, obviously to get the education out, but the home run is to be able to save people from losing money, because 99% of the time, you never get anything back.
You know, scammers, I just thought of this, they're a little bit like viruses when,
right.
When you think about it. Like the COVID virus and is constantly evolving into really bad variants. But when you think about it, the scammers have been kind of like changing their methods too, didn't they?
Right. Remember, it used to always be by the telephone. They still do it by the telephone. In fact, driving over here, I got the call about my Social Security breach and that I was going to be arrested.
Oh, yeah.
So I got that this morning. So they now have evolved to email and texting.
Uh-huh.
And because they started with mail, then they went to phones, and they've progressed. So they go where people want to be connected with. And we know a lot of people and a lot of business people and consumers like to communicate through texts and email because it's faster and it's your time selection on when to deal with it.
You know, a lot more time is spent online, and I think you actually have some concrete numbers on this. 43% of your respondents said that they were spending more time online because of COVID-19.
Right. Right.
That does not surprise me, that number. It's high, yes, but think about it. People buying more and more online, and there's even a number for that. What is it, 57% say they're purchasing more online.
Right, they're pushing the button.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're seeing here in Southern Arizona just an increase for my operations team to handle a lot of these, you know, that come out to be complaints or reviews. We're seeing an increase of over 35%. So our staff is working 35% harder to process information for our community.
Let's talk about kind of the five riskiest scams. What scams are you currently seeing?
Well, obviously, they're all tied to online. Mm-hmm. So that's really the underlying theme. And it's interesting that they didn't really change this year. So the scammers have found a good thing and they're sticking to it, right? Mm-hmm. So we have the fake money, you know, and the money order and the fake check. We have the romance scam, which always just breaks my heart, and home improvements. And trust me, the puppy scam is still right up there.
I was
there.
Just going to ask you,
and
is
there's
that
been so
cute
much
little
publicity.
Puppy still being used?
Yes.
That picture of the cute
puppy.
It's
so sad. So, you know, I really would ask your audience to go to bbb.org / risk report. And you can learn so much because that's when we really slice and dice the information down to a lot of detail.
And of course, scammers know that a lot of people are at home working online, and they also know that their dogs and cats are with them in their home offices. So the scammers decided, well, pets would be a good avenue to attack. And that's where they go. And not only pets, but the products related to keeping a pet.
And that's why I always go back to one rule that I always want people to think about is if you're on Facebook or you're on social media, don't buy from that. Go off of that platform, go to the direct website, and also go to bbb.org and investigate it, or Google, and you'll see the reviews of the companies that pop up in order to get that emotional buy-in.
And the personal protective equipment.
That's another huge one.
Yeah, it's huge. You don't know where some of that's coming from. Some of it may be coming from China or places, and you may not see it for a long, long time.
Or they're child's masks when you get them instead of adults. You know, just different things, and you've waited 8 weeks.
Yeah, wait 8 weeks. It's bbb.org/scam-tracker.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about, let's advance what's going on with your annual Torch Award presentation.
We're very excited because once again, the wonderful people at South 32 jumped in. They're going to be for 3 years. They've committed to us. So we have a wonderful relationship with them, and they do such great, fine, ethical work. It's great to have them on board. Also, we're going to be using this similar and even more online platform by Audio Visual Management, which is another very successful company here in Tucson that does audio visual management all over the world. And we're lucky to have a great relationship with them. So we'll be using a platform that allows us not only to have a lot of video and live content, but also a networking element. So it's you check in and you can actually be seated at a table and virtually have conversations and walk around, quote, the ballroom. So it's very exciting, kind of cutting edge. And we did it last year, and this year it's even a better platform. So we're excited about it. And we have also Suncrest Wealth Management is another very steady, wonderful, wonderful supporter of ours. And Cox Business and Cox Media stepped up in a big way this year. So we were very fortunate that all of our sponsors came through. Even though we weren't going to have a live show, we were going to have a virtual show. And we're very excited about it.
What about the date? Have you set the date?
The date is May 6th. So it'll be, it's going to be about 5 or 5:30. So we'll have some networking before that, and there'll be a lot more information coming out on our social media and on our website about it. We've had... So- we had an unbelievable amount of nominees, higher than we've ever had, over 125.
Whoa, wow. So hopefully maybe next month we can talk about the nominees too.
That would be great.
So to find out more about the event, just go to bbb.org/Tucson Torch.
Tucson Torch, that's right.
All right, Pam Krim, always a pleasure. Lots of good information. Just start at the bbb.org/scam tracker and bbb.org/Tucson Torch. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I'm so excited that Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, and New Mexico starting to slowly open up, rolling out tourism again. It's been a long year, and it's just a three-hour drive over to Silver City, so you can start your planning now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. The spring in the Gila National Wilderness is going to be beautiful. Check out things to do, and there's all sorts of activities, both indoors and out, and some great places to stay. Again, the website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now for his monthly visit Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, coming up on 50 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. How are you, Dr. Sykes?
I am doing just fine, Bill. Welcome from California.
Yeah, well, hopefully another month or so we can get you back in here in person. See you. It's been a long year.
Yeah. I'm waiting for my second shot this Thursday, and I'm flying home. And, it would be great to meet face-to-face.
Hey, what's this about the Milky Way, maybe on a collision course? Do I need to worry? Is this something this is down the road, as they say?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. 17 million years or something like that.
There you go.
So, yeah. Then we're going to, get into some kind of a turf fight with Andromeda. And we'll see which black hole ends out on top.
Could be.
So,
could be a giant black hole, and that will be something that none of us will be around to see, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine the radiation that would be coming off of such an event. It would probably not be healthy, and we'd have to have a lot of shielding.
There you go, the super massive black hole. Anyway, how is the mission going on Mars?
You know, it's fantastic. I was holding my breath again, when it was coming down for its landing, and it was wonderful to see the video of the craft coming down, the parachutes deploying, and then landing on the surface. And or not landing, but then being dropped down to the surface through the super crane, which just it still boggles my mind that it works, but it's quite dramatic. And now Perseverance is sitting on a sedimentary delta coming out of the mouth of what was once some kind of a river, on the surface, bringing mud from the highlands in. This area, and so it was a very. You look at the first images, and it's very sedimentary stuff. Just a dried up old mudflow, and you have to think that, well, if there was life in the past, that probably would have been a good place.
So really, the Perseverance mission has lived up to its potential at this point.
At this point, this is the beginning of a mission that should go on for a while, and it's going to be it's got the helicopter. That'll be very entertaining when that happens. That's a kind of a test thing, and then it'll be collecting samples and dropping them around the surface for another vehicle to pick up sometime in the future, and launch into orbit, and then another vehicle to come by and pick it up from orbit and bring it back to Earth. So probably a long time to wait on that.
A new study is out showing signs of what I think they called it the hidden planet number 9 in our solar system may not hold up. What's that about?
Well, first of all, number 9 for me is Neptune, because you have Mercury, Earth, Mars, Ceres, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and then there's Pluto and Charon, a double planet. People were saying that clustering of Kuiper Belt objects, these are icy bodies beyond the orbit of Pluto, extending hundreds of AU out into the solar system, but they seem to be clustered in their orbits in a way that people thought, oh, it must be kind of pushed together because of the presence of an object about 10 times the mass of the Earth out a few hundred Earth-Sun distances, AU, from the Sun. The thing was that at the time when that was first being speculated, there wasn't a whole bunch of bodies out there. And so you get statistics of small numbers, and sometimes you see clusters that, as you add to it, they kind of go away. And that's kind of what's going on here, that as the population of known Kuiper Belt objects has increased, this kind of clustering is kind of damped down to where, maybe you really don't need an object to explain the distribution of orbits back there. But on a fun note, Bill, I would note that a 10 object that's 10 times the mass of the Earth at a distance of hundreds of AU from the Sun, under the official IAU definition of planet, wouldn't be a planet. It'd be a dwarf planet.
Hmm.
But because of its size, I would propose to call it a giant dwarf.
A giant dwarf. I like that.
You got to have fun with this.
Of course you do. Hey, before we let you go, a lot of people saw that 60 Minutes piece about America's new race, I guess you could call it kind of a race to the moon with China. This aired last night. And the huge amount of money that NASA is spending, Mark Sykes, on the Artemis mission, which is the mission, you know, the follow-up to Apollo. And the cost for these delivery vehicles is just off the charts.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't see that particular show, but I'm somewhat familiar with the Artemis program. And our problem is to decide whether or not we want to do thing as kind of a stunt, you know, one-off, which is all that NASA is really committed to when it comes to sending people back to the moon, or if we want to establish a permanent presence, and then what do we do to keep the costs down, you know, to make use of resources and things like that. The Chinese are thinking, you know, a longer term, at least in my, I don't know what they were saying last the other night, but in my discussions with them about the winter program when I was in Beijing, they've got a longer term view where they're interested in a permanent, establishing a permanent facility that would be permanently, continuously tended, you know, by people. And they are looking at ways of making that sustainable. So they have their own set of near-Earth object searching satellites that they're working on right now. That would be analogous to the NEOCAM project that's being run out of U of A, which who knows when that's going to launch. NASA keeps kicking that can down the road. But you need to understand what's out there that might have things like water that would be accessible to use as fuel to get from low Earth orbit back up to the moon or other places, as well as for life support and such, because we don't really know how much stuff there is up at the pole, and it's probably not that much. So in terms of water ice in the permanently shadowed regions. So we're it's not much of a race if we're not racing to do the same thing.
Yeah, and they showed that the part of the plan was a space station around the moon. The rendering looked really neat and everything, but I wasn't sure what the what the mission really is to return to the moon. I mean, it just didn't seem like it was a clear-cut mission.
Well, and that's a problem. It keeps you kind of evolving because there really isn't a long-term commitment to anything. And NASA executes policy. NASA doesn't create policy. And so they're doing the best they can with what they got, which is very little direction. And the previous administrator, Bridenstine, testifying for Congress, stated that the administration of the time was committed to just one mission down to the surface and back, and then the rest we'll see. So depending on what your goal is, I mean, back in the 60s, and we both remember the 60s.
Oh yeah,
that you know, at least those of us in the public thought that we were going to go to the moon, and then we were going to be, you know, staying there. And I was afraid that by the time I was an adult, we'd be colonizing Mars and it'd all be done. It didn't quite work out like that.
No, it didn't.
If somebody in 1969 had asked you, where do you think we'll be in the year 2000, more than 30 years later, you know, it wouldn't be where we are today.
That's for sure.
So I think that we have to, as a nation, understand what it is that we're doing. You know, what are our long-term goals? Because there's some real benefit to be had in going after new challenges, new techniques, and NASA's, we've taken things in such a conservative approach where we want to ensure success.
All right.
That we limit ourselves.
Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Find out more at psi.edu. Thanks, Mark.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.